I'd like to start with a scripture in the second book of Chronicles. Oh, I'll start with the seventh verse. It says, "In that night did God appear unto Solomon, and said unto him, Ask what I shall give thee." You ever ask yourself, what would you want if God would visit you in the night and say, "What can I do for you? What can I give you? Anything you want. What do you want?" And I think that's a good question to ask tonight. So, no way for your neighbor to know what you're thinking or what you would do. So you can honestly answer that question tonight before the Lord. What do you want? What do you want? What would you have tonight if the Lord was to say to you, "What do you want?" Maybe you're in debt. You have a mortgage that you'd like to get paid off, and maybe you would say, "I'd like to, Lord, if you just pay that off for me. I think that's what I'd like to have." Your ambitions might be more than that. I've known people that's wanted to be a millionaire. I've known people that said, I want to be a millionaire. I knew somebody that said that one time. I knew someone that said that one time, said that I'm gonna make $1 million, and said that you just look what I could do for the Lord if I had $1 million. So I'm gonna make $1 million. And I remember thinking, they ain't thinking about the Lord. They're thinking about $1 million. What's God going to do with $1 million? God ain't worried about $1 million. But what's important to you tonight to really answer? If I could say, "Lord, this is what I would like." Perhaps there's someone here that got their eye on a companion that might say, "If I could have her, or I could have him, or maybe there's a house that you'd like to have, and maybe it is not even built yet, but you got an idea of what you'd like to have in it. What do you want tonight? What's really your passion and desire?" Well, the Lord actually came to a man one time and asked him that. Yeah. "Well, what can I do for you?" Well, he says, "And Solomon said unto God, Thou hast showed the great mercy unto David my father, and hast made me to reign in his stead. Now, O Lord God, let thy promise unto David my father be established. For thou hast made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Give me now wisdom and knowledge, that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can judge this thy people that is so great?" Do you know where Solomon's heart was at? It showed up right there to God. And my thought tonight is that, where is your heart? Because I'm going to tell you what I found out in life. I found out that the things that you have a heart for, you'll find a way to get there.
That's right.
You will. You'll find where your heart's at. Now, I remember years ago, I like to tell this story because it really taught me a lesson about honesty and how we can think we know what we are and who we are, and we can even assume that we're being honest when we're doing these little things. But I came home from work one day. This was many years ago. I came home from work, and I was tired, And my wife says, I'd like to go visit Mom this evening. And I said, you've got to be kidding. I've worked all day. I'm tired. And the last thing I want to do is to go see Mom. That's right. And so there was this little, you know how things are. There was this little, oh, that's all I'll say, this little. There was a little there. Well, I had this little dog that I was training to be a squirrel dog. And I don't know if anybody knows anything about that. When you're training the dog, you've got to give it a little attention when it needs it, you know. And I was sitting there and too tired to go to my in-laws. Just too tired. Was ready to make an argument. I'm too tired. And that little dog started barking up on the hill at a squirrel in a tree. Up the mountain. I lived in the mountains. And it was up in the mountains barking. Oh, and when that dog started barking. Anybody that knows me knows I love the outdoors. I love the nature. And I just love to see a dog barking at a squirrel in a tree. And I just couldn't help myself. And I found out that I had enough energy to climb that steep hill and get up there to reward that dog for his diligent service to do what he was trained to do. And I done it because I love doing it. You understand me? I love doing it. It wasn't grievous to me. It wasn't hard to do. It was a joy to do. I'd put extra effort in it. I'd strain the extra. I'd push the extra. Do whatever because I just absolutely love to do it. So I did it. And then I come down, back down to the house, and I got in the car with my wife, and I went over to my in-laws because I knew I had no grounds to stand on. The thought that I'm too tired, it was, no, I'm going to make a point here. This is why I didn't love to go to in-laws. Understand me? I didn't. I didn't always love to go. And I'm just being truthful. I didn't love because had I have loved to go, I'd have said it to her before she said it to me. If I'd have loved it enough, as much as I like going up the hill to the dog, I'd have come home as quickly as I could. I'd have showered as fast as I could. Told my wife on the way, get ready so we can go to your mother's. Hurry, because I'm anxious to go. I want to get there. I enjoy it that much. Folks, Lord help us. Serving God is about our hearts. Serving God is really about how much we love it. And you know what is the real problem? We look and see all the surface problems, but many times what the real problem is that we really don't have the passion, desire, and the love in our hearts to serve God. Or there is a lack of it. I didn't hate my in-laws, of course. I even enjoyed them in times. But what I'm saying is there is a level in this that will cause us not to really get out of it, not really to put into it like we should put into it. So the Lord comes along here in this passage and asks a man, what would you have me do for you? And of all the things that the human mind can come up with, and it's listed here, the major ones. But Solomon gave God his heart. That's why he said what he did. I have a heart that your cause, Lord, is glorified. I have a point and a purpose in my heart that what you have done is saw by the world as successful. That God reigns, that the people will be able to see there really is a God. He really works in the affairs of men. He really is what He said He was. And I want that to be in people's lives. Lord, help us that we don't dry up and blow away. Help us as a people that there's a little, skip in our step. That I want to do this. You understand what I'm saying? I got a desire. to do this. I don't have to be prodded, pushed, pulled. I do it because I want to do it. I find joy and content. I find peace and I find I will have a desire to do it. But God, I do it because I love you, Lord. Do you remember when Jesus said, Peter, you love me. Simon Peter, lovest thou me? And Peter says, yes, Lord. I think he said it quickly. I think it wasn't no in his mind. Yes, Lord. And I love you. Sure, I love you. Feed my sheep. Okay. Peter, lovest thou me? Yeah, I love you. Feed my sheep. Peter, lovest thou me? Now, Peter was getting stirred up here about this time. Lord, you know I love you. You know I love you. Why do you think that Peter confirmed, the Lord did that like that? Kept doing it? You know what I think? I think the Lord did that to Peter for the time to come. Because I'm going to tell you, as a gospel worker, as somebody that's been out some and in the ministry, I think Peter needed that. Because I think there was times that he was would have said, you all, just do whatever you want to do. You're going to do it anyway. Just do. But I think it kept ringing back. Peter, you love me? Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Want to, Peter? Want to. Hook up with me. Love me. If you love me, that's going to be the motivation for you that you will not quit. You won't stop. Because it gets hard, it gets difficult, and you keep going over and over with the same people and over, and you keep doing this and you wonder what this. You love me, Peter? Yeah, I love you. You love the Lord tonight? You love the Lord? The Lord wants us doing something.
Amen.
He really does. He wants us of our decisions. He wants us to have the love of this, the fire burning that makes it important, that makes it real. We should come to service with a hearty amen.
Amen.
We ought to come with a hand willing to be raised. But you know, I'm not telling you to do that superficially. That's not what this message is about. You say, well, the preacher said I ought to come and say amen. And we try that. We do. Us preachers will try that. And we'll try saying, you all really, I mean, where was everybody at Sunday morning? Preachers will do that kind of stuff. I do it too. Where's everybody at service time? Did they get back from camping? Did they forget service? And we do that kind of stuff, trying to inspire somebody on. But you know what the answer really is to that ain't the answer. You know what the answer is? I'm going to tell you what the answer is. It's now this time of year is a new, what they call a new football season. It's football season.
Yeah.
And I know how to say this out here in Oklahoma, because I'm going to tell you there ain't no place in the world like Oklahoma when it comes to football season. Oklahomans, they got their football fans. I mean, they're football fans, right? Now, when they have these games at, what is it, Norman? That Norman's the college, right? In Stillwater, a couple of big colleges here. This tent, we had figured if people got in here, what, 120-some chairs, Brother Carl? And we're praying hard, hoping that we could get most of them chairs filled up, 120. Try 60 and 70,000 stadiums. Sold out. In advance, sold out. And listen, you don't end up, they don't come up and say, well, it's kickoff time. You think we ought to wait for the people to get here? But they must be running late. They must only be, what, 50, 60 people in this stadium. Maybe if we, let's put it off an hour and see if more people come. Do you know what they do on football? I listened to a little bit of radio and I heard this little deal on there. And they said something about a game that was going to start at 6 o'clock this evening at one of these schools.
Yeah.
And they was there at noon, Brother Carl. Noon. And they was looking around and they started telling about all the fans that was gathering. There was a crowd of people gathering in, flocking in to that. And I said, he just said the game's at 6 o'clock? And they're there at noon? Why are they there? Folks, listen, it's just, why are they there? Would you be willing to say that they love being a fan? Do they love football? Do they love that experience? Is that a thrill to them? Is it exciting to them? Why did they spend one whole day doing it? That seems like a colossal waste of time. To go and spend all day doing that? I know why they do it. They love it. They love it. It's what they do. And they don't stop with that. I think I'm a little too tired, honey, to go to service tonight. I worked awful hard today. I think I'll just lay in. These people come in at noon. They stay till 6. And then when it gets beaten up, they got that place rocking. They can't hardly hear inside. Now, I've never been there, but I've heard the crowd noise. It's enormous.
That's true.
The energy, the effort that they spend at that. And folks, they do it because they love it. And I doubt if any of these season ticket holders ever say to their wife, honey, I'm too tired to go to the game today. I'm awful tired. I think I'll stay back. They crowd that thing. 60, 70,000 people crowd in there. And there ain't an excuse with any of them because they love what they're doing. Do we really love this? I mean, I'm just ask an honest question. Do you really love what you're doing? Is there enough? Is it worth it enough to get a little bit excited about it?
Yeah.
Is it worth being a little upbeat about it? Is it all right to lift our voices at times? Is it all right to be encouraged and inspired? Is there anything wrong with even showing the Lord that we appreciate what He done for us?
Yeah.
Is there anything about it? I mean, you talk about a disappointing. Do you know of 100 and so whatever of these teams, one of them ends up being a winner at the end of it and everybody else lost? I mean, everybody else is less. I mean, how many people get disappointed over and over and they keep coming back and disappointed and coming back? God don't disappoint.
Amen.
God ain't never a loser. We're not going to lose this game. This is a winning proposition. And all Solomon, given the choice, said, Lord, I have a passion and desire. I want to see God lifted up.
Yeah.
I want to see God elevated.
Amen.
So he asked for wisdom and knowledge that he could rule such a great people. And God said to Solomon, because this was in thine heart, and thou hast not asked riches, wealth, or honor. So let's go ahead and get it. Riches, wealth, or honor, nor the life of thy enemies. There'd be one for you. Neither yet hast thou asked long life. I imagine that would be in the top thing. Lord, I'd like to live for, give me 1,000. Give me 1,000, Lord. You want to ask? Give me 1,000. How about, oh, okay. Yeah. I remember that guy that said that about me. Right here would be a perfect time. Lord, you ask me what I want? I'd like to see him backpedal a little bit. I'd like to see him. But those are some of the things that the man might want, isn't it? Riches, wealth, honor, glory, something to his own life. But the Lord said, because you didn't ask of these things, Lord, but thou hast asked wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that thou mayest judge my people over whom I have made thee king. Wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee, and I will give thee riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had that have been before thee, neither shall there be any after thee have the like. So Solomon had a heart's desire. So if the Lord was to come and say tonight to you, what would you have me to do? I know what my answer is. I know what it is. Because I think if the Lord would come to me and say to me, I'm going to let you choose within 100 years or so, the time of your death, I'm going to let you choose from now on how life goes for you, I'm going to let you do that. I'd have to say to him, no, Lord, you do that for me. I lived a portion of my life trying that. It wasn't good. So I'd have to say to the Lord, Lord, I'm contented with the way you do things. So if the Lord was to come and ask that, would it be okay to say, Lord, make me a singer for you? How about that? Lord, give me understandings of your word that I might be able to share it with those that are around me. How about, Lord, give me that excellent spirit? Give me a sweetness. Give me, Lord, of all the things, if you could arm me with a sweetness, I think I could make a difference. Lord, if you give me the ability to stack one word upon another one without being foolish, Lord, help my tongue. Help me to be able to speak to people. What would you ask? What do you care about? Honestly, what do you care about? Lord, help me to be a good witness for you. Do you know that there's things that God gives gifts unto men? You know God gives gifts? And He said for us to covet earnestly the best gift. I think that meant the best gift for me. You got a best gift for you and I've got one for me. And that's what I want the Lord. Lord, give me my gift. And give me the heart. Give me the heart for it. And I just be honest. I just like to be honest with people. I say to the Lord, there's things that I really, really enjoy doing in life. And if I get a chance to do it, and it doesn't conflict God or what He's wanting me to do, Brother James, I'll do it. Now, you just invite me to go out in your boat and fish and you see if I'll turn you down unless the Lord's wanting me to do something, see? I just enjoy it. You understand what? I enjoy it. I don't look for a reason to say no. I never look for a reason to say no, or I never try to find something else to do right there at that moment. I don't try to slide away from that. I slide into that. I love doing it. And I'll be honest with you, I've told the Lord when it comes to the work of the Lord, Lord, give me the heart of that. Give me the heart of it. Because this is what I've learned in life. If you don't love what you're doing, you don't do it well.
That's right.
You just don't do it well. Folks, I hated school when I was growing up. And I'm not overemphasizing that. Because hate's a strong word. And I mean it. I hated it. It contradicted me. I hated it. I hated being forced to sit there and look out the window, and it's a beautiful sunny day. I knew the trout was biting. I knew it was one of those days. And I couldn't wait to get out of there. Then the seasons had changed. And then we're there and the leaves are softly floating down outside. Oh, I used to think of them squirrels out there barking. And just, oh, I hated being in there. It was a torment to me to be in school. How well you think I done? Anybody want to take a guess? Bro, Carl, not very good. Not very good. I didn't like it. I didn't like it. You know, I knew people that liked school. They liked doing schoolwork. And they excelled. Oh, it was a joy to them because they liked doing it. I found out that that's the way it is with most anything that we do. When you enjoy, when it's something you got enjoy doing, you do it with a gusto, with a I'm ready to go, and you put everything into it.
That's right.
I know. I know guys that will get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and get their hunting stuff. Well, no, before they go to bed, they get it all laid out.
That's right.
4 o'clock in the morning. It isn't light for another 3 hours. And they get up at 4 o'clock, can't sleep, ready to go. You don't have to prime them and pump them. They love what they're doing. Lord, help us tonight. Lord, help us to love what we're doing. Help us to give our all to it and love it and put it at the top thing that we do in life. Lord, I serve you with all my heart. I want to serve you, Lord. Help me to have this in my life. And I'm going to guarantee you, if you love it, you'll succeed in it because you'll do anything you can to get there and do it. We'll say sometimes, it happens a lot at my house, one of my children would say, "Oh, do we have to go to service tonight?" And me and my wife always say, "No, we get to. We get to go to service tonight. It's a privilege to go to service. That's a heart to do it. Let us come." You'll find yourself getting there early when you like it. You'll find yourself staying a little longer. You'll find yourself not caring that the preacher's long-winded. You'll find yourself getting some out of it when nobody else does because you love it. You'll find yourself enjoying it, liking it, loving it. You'll sing louder. You'll testify. I love it. I want to go and do it. I love to tell the story, our song says. You love to tell the story? You don't have to answer that. But the songwriter got a hold of it and said, "I love to tell the story. I love telling it. I want to tell it. I love what it's done for me." Look at the scripture, very familiar, over in Matthew. It says in the 34th verse of the 22nd chapter of Matthew, it says, "But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, 'Master, which is the great commandment in the law?' Jesus said unto him, 'Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind.'" That's the way you serve God. Yes. With all my heart, all my soul, my strength, my mind. With all of that, I remember reading a book of a guy, and it stuck with me. I still use it as a gauge to this day. This man was saying of a Christian experience, he said, if you really want to get an accurate gauge about what you got your heart on, he said, do not gauge yourself in the middle of activities. Because that makes your mind have to be on something. Don't gauge yourself in the middle of a hot revival, or camp meeting, or church service. But he said, when everything clears off and you sit down to rest, and you have the opportunity to choose and think on whatever you want to think on, where does your heart automatically go? And he said, if you'll pay attention, you'll find out what your heart really is seeking. And so I started paying attention to that in my own life. And all of a sudden, the children have fell asleep. I'm turning the lights out and sat down. And now I can let my mind and my heart go anywhere I want to. Okay. Where does it go? Oh, I'd be willing to say that some people do that and it goes to my financial report. My 401k, my retirement plan. See, I don't have none of that to think on, but somebody might. And their mind goes there and they start thinking of interest rates, stock market. Those kind of things. It'd be obvious enough to say, that's probably where their heart's at. Other people might say, oh, yeah, I can sit down and think, and yeah, that big elk hunt I'm going on. Big elk hunt I'm going on. And think about and meditate. That's where your heart's going. But Jesus answered this question to them. What's the great commandment? To love the Lord thy God. Supremely, first of all, putting Him first. It's not that the Lord don't give us good things to do in this earth, is it? Didn't God make it for us to enjoy? Oh, yeah. Didn't God make a wonderful creation? I think God did all this for us to enjoy. But do you know that in everything that we do, we can see God? He can be a part of it in our lives. Yeah. This tree, amazing. That thing come... Is that a pecan tree? I think that's what's fell. That came from a little nut about that big. And now, many years, probably 80 by the look of it, it grew into a tree. Wonderful. God did that. God did that. He's everywhere and in everything. But oh, it's so easy to not have our heart into it. It's so easy not to be really fervent about it. No desire towards it. It's really easy to do that. And I'm going to tell you what happens. After a while, what happens is that there ain't any joy in this anymore. And I may go on, Lord, because it's what expected. I may go on and do it, but all I have is a little dryness in my life. I don't sing the songs like a... What words to what song? What did they really mean? What songs did we sing tonight? What was the special song? What did the preacher preach about? I don't know. He preached the same thing that he's been preaching for the last 20 years. I didn't hear anything different. Lord, have mercy on us and help us. The people of the world, out in the world, they've got desire for what they're doing. Do you know the scripture says that the children of darkness are in their generation wiser than the children of light? You know what that means? That means that they know that if they don't put their heart into what they're doing, it ain't going to work. And they put their heart. They give their all. It's like those that run a race. You don't run a race unless you give all. You can't win without that. They give great energies. Right. They train diligently. They hurt the strength. Put weights on their legs and run and miles and go through torturous events to win the race. Because they know they ain't going to win the race if they don't. You can't go out here and be a runner of a marathon and weigh 350 pounds and been eating Oreo cookies every night and a bowl of ice cream. It don't work. They know that. And they're saying in their generation, they accomplished more for evil and for flesh and for the world than we ever accomplish in the Spirit because they put more into it. They put their all into it. I was challenged years ago by a man that I worked for in surveying company. He was a young man and he started a business. And it was impressive. It was not hard to figure that his whole desire and purpose was to build a business. And you know what? The last time I talked with him, he has about three different offices. He employs somewhere around 40 people. He's been successful. But I'm not surprised that he was successful because back when I started working for him, he lived, breathed, everything had to do with that company. By the time he got up in the mornings till he went to bed at nights, it was about that company. It wasn't about him personally. He didn't go and get a big house first, a big truck. He didn't do that. Everything was about the company. He lived in shacks. He lived in little rooms with, you can see out through cracks in there. He didn't put the money into his pocket. He put everything he got back into that business, into that company. So that he could build it up and make it successful. And he did that. How successful are we going to be if we really don't care about what we're doing?
That's right.
We have the answer to all the world's problems.
Amen.
The problem that the world has now is that they're very selfish. They can't get above themselves. They need an answer to that problem. The answer to that problem is salvation. That's the answer to it. We know what the answer is. We need to be able to tell them. But when people look on and we don't really care whether we tell them or not, we really don't allow it to work to the joy in our own life. I mean, it isn't hard to look at whether somebody's getting along or not, is it? Are they happy? Is it working in their life? Are they thankful? Are they content with life? Are they content with what they have? Is salvation working? It's not hard to see what's going on. And it's not very appealing. But here's the answer. To love the Lord, thy God, with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Over in Luke, 14th chapter of Luke, 25th verse of 14th chapter says, "And there went great multitudes with him. And he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me, and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." Now, you've probably heard me tell this. I've told it a lot of times. But this is what I always think of. When I was in grade school, I had a teacher. And I can remember her trying to teach us to speak properly. And so, if you come up to her and said, "Mrs. Hines, can I go get a drink?" She would say, "Can ya? Can ya?" And we'd say, "Yeah, may I?" And she'd say, "Yes, you may." Because the language is not whether you got the ability or not. You're asking permission.
That's right.
May I? Are you going to give me permission? Because surely I can. I've got the ability to get there and back. This scripture didn't say you may not be. The Lord was not given or not given permission. It had nothing to do with permission. He said you cannot because you have no capability of being a disciple of the Lord if you don't hate everything else, and that means love less. Unless the Lord is supreme in your life, it is all in all. It's what I live for. It's what I'm doing for. And if that's not it, you cannot be. And it isn't a permission thing. And going to the pastor and say, may I do this or may I do that? It isn't permission. It is an impossibility to follow the Lord and be successful, not giving Him all. You'll be stumped. You'll get till there'll be a contradiction in your life and you won't pick the Lord. You cannot be a follower of the Lord and not have Him supreme in your life. You can't do it. This is a heart matter. Out of the heart come the issue of life. Out of the heart is the issue of life. Why do I want to go and help? Why do I want to go pray with somebody? Why do I want to be in meeting? Why do I do it? Why do I do it? Because I love to do it for the Lord. I love the Lord. He's done it for me. I want to give Him something back. It's my heart's desire and passion. Why do you get up and sing? Because I love the Lord. That's why I want to do it. I want to do it. I want to love to do it. It makes such a difference. And when people come in and they see that you love it,
That's true.
It'll be a testimony that your mouth don't need to make. Because your actions are already making it. You don't have to say, "I love the Lord." It's evident in those that love the Lord. Oh, they'll say it. They'll say it over and over. But you can look and see that they do. Why? Because they serve the Lord every opportunity they get to serve the Lord. They just want to do it. And I'll be honest with you. I know that there's a lot of people that if they can find enough excuse to make it legitimate, if they can find enough reason that makes everybody know that there's a reason for it, they'll skip out on it. But if you love to do something, you'll hobble to do it.
That's right.
Oh, I got to get there. I've done it myself. You don't think I've hurt myself in sports and stuff until my ankle was so red, black and blue up my leg and down my toes and have it wrapped up and put that hunting boot on just as light as I could and hobbled and get up my tree stand. Got to get up there hobbling and just barely get up there and maybe even had a little cold on top of that and wondered if my cough would scare the deer away trying to muffle my cough down. But I was still up there in that stand. Why? Because I love being there.
That's right.
There's something that I get out of it. I want to be there.
That's true.
And oh, how little we can allow it to keep us away. Just keep us away. My dear old grandma, way when she was up in her 70s, I'm telling you, her heart burned for the Lord.
Oh, yes.
It just burned for the Lord, Brother Carl. And I'm telling you, she had a battle when she didn't get to go to service. She just had a battle. She wanted to go so bad. Her heart was there all the time. And you want to know a secret about my grandmother? She couldn't hardly hear a thing. She'd admit, "I really don't know what the preacher's saying. I can't hear. And I'm not sure all the time what songs they're singing because I can't hear. But, oh, I just love being there. Just love being there. Go every time I get a chance. She was like that because she loved it. Done something for her. She wanted to be with God's people. She wanted to be in the presence of the Lord. Feel the Spirit of the Lord. She wanted to be there. What little she gained is so little. Folks, do you realize that we're going to be judged by people that's going to come? When the Lord comes back, He's bringing the saints with Him. You know what I think they're coming for? There was a scripture that said that Nineveh, the men of Nineveh, the people of Nineveh was going to rise up in judgment against this generation because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. Now, he was pathetic. And they repented at that. And there's one greater than that came. These people repented at that. There's another scripture that says something about the queen of the south. Because she went all that way to hear the wisdom of Solomon. All that way. Difficulties. All that problems. To go. To do what? To hear a few words of wisdom. To see what God had done. There's one greater than Solomon has come. And that woman had a great desire and passion in her heart. What drove her to do? You think that she was disappointed?
No.
Was she disappointed in what she saw? Her testimony was is that the half has not been told. She went away. She had got what she had went for all that way. And it wasn't like, we got a big old van out there. We get in that thing. I hit the cruise control on that. I set that air conditioner. We have tapes to listen to. We have things to listen to. In comfort, get us a drink sitting there. Always got a bunch of snacks in there. Man, we're going. We're going. This woman, no doubt, she was a queen. She might have had some servants, and she might have been on poles in one of these little carrying things. And she was in there. But listen, out there in that old dusty desert and stuff, it was probably still 115 degrees, even with them fanning the flies off of her. All that journey. How long would it take you to get from Ethiopia or wherever she came from up there? A long way. I don't know where Sheba was at, but it was a long... And all that journey, days and days... Of it wasn't like being in the palace for sure and all that. For what? A heart. That's what drove her. A heart in there to get something. A longing, a desire for something. That's what compelled her on. What's your heart tonight? It's only honest between you and the Lord tonight. Where's your heart at? Do you have that kind of heart? I was impressed. I don't know if it was, but years ago, I remember this right. It was in Sister Irma. Solis is where Brother Bob was over in Africa. There was a picture on her wall, and it showed some people there, and it had a little deal underneath it that said that these people had traveled like 2 or 3 days or something through the jungle, walking through the jungle to get to the meeting. 2 or 3 days. Walking 2 or 3 days to get to a meeting? Anybody here would be willing to walk 2 or 3 days to get in a meeting?
Brother Doug told me when he was just over there, a woman walked for several days.
Several days. Why did she do it?
Because she had her heart into it.
Because it was a heart into it. Why wouldn't you do it? Because her heart ain't into it. We're getting awful soft too. Lord help us.
Yeah.
What a heart into it. Lord help us.
Amen.
He said you cannot be. You just cannot be. And I want to look at another scriptures. If I can find these scriptures. Over in Exodus. Alright, the 35th chapter of Exodus. In the 5th verse. 4th verse. And Moses spake unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it an offering of the Lord. Gold and silver and brass and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair and ram skin dyed and badger skinned and shittim wood and oil for the lights and the spices for anointing and for the sweet incense and onyx stones. And it goes on with all of these different things. But it says there of them people going to do the tabernacle, and they're going to bring all that stuff in, and got some thoughts on that. The Lord did not say, tax them. Let's lay a tax on them. Now, if they got so much, let's take so much. If they got more, let's take. God didn't lay no tax on them. You know why? That ain't what it's about. Who's this tabernacle for? God's got one in heaven. Who's the tabernacle for? This is for the people. That God could be with them. Do you realize that it's important for these people to want that? They got a stake in it. Folks, we've got a stake in this thing.
Yes.
You sit around and grump and say, I've heard people say it. Oh, the church ain't what it used to be. Are you church? You're not what you ought to be? Well, get to be what you ought to be. We got a stake in this.
Amen.
Why isn't it what it should be? It can be what it's supposed to be. And you know what makes it what it's supposed to be? The church is just us. The people, the ones that give their heart to the Lord. It is what we have it to be. It's what God makes to us. But it's up to us. You got something? Bring it. Of a free heart, bring it. So, do you know not everybody had the same thing? There were some people that had some gold. And of a willing heart. God didn't want it if you didn't bring it willingly. This tabernacle ain't made by force. It's made by our willing hearts. We got to want to do it. There ain't no sense in me priming and kicking and scratching and trying to get you up here so you'll sing a song. If you don't want to sing it, it don't do it any good anyway. Bring your song. Bring what you've got to work with. It will function, folks, and it'll work if you'll bring your gift.
Amen.
And bring it to the Lord. You got an onyx stone, you bring it. It'll be used. You ain't got gold. You don't have silver. You don't have no brass. You got an old badger that you got out of the hole a while back. Bring him. Got a place for badgers too. Got a place for everything. Some's here, some's there. But everybody's got something to bring. And then when you put it in, it's yours. That's mine. I'm a part of this. Makes a difference, don't it?
Yes.
Now when things start happening there, I care about it. Why? Because I got something. I've invested something in it.
Yes.
I've got something in this. I got something to lose, folks. I'll be honest with you. I got something to lose. You know, I put everything into this. I want this to work. I put it all in there. The old song said something about burning the bridges that's behind. Burn those bridges behind. All that you left behind, don't be building the bridges back. Oh, listen, folks, my bridges is already burnt.
Amen.
I know place to go. I've staked something in this. I want this to work. And it will work. God's not a failure.
That's right.
What do you got tonight that you've been holding back on the Lord and not bringing? You know what God ain't going to make you do it. But He said, make an offering unto the Lord. And then have the folks bring these things. Well, they did. Go to verse 21 or 22. 21 or 20 says, and all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses. And they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom the Spirit made willing. And they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation and for all His service and for the holy garments. Here they come. Thank the Lord. We was up home this year, and before our camp meeting started, we had our regular business meeting before the camp meeting, and we had the secretary and the treasurer read their report. And so the Sister Karen being our secretary treasurer, so she made the report and she told the minutes of the last meeting, and then she gave the report of the financial situations, and she said, as far as I can remember back, we have never started a camp meeting with $37. Said, we have in our general fund $37. Well, several people went, oh. $37. We started batting. One batted around. Then somebody made a very faithful observation. The Lord's never failed us. And then that was amen by another. That's right. Lord wants us to have this meeting. Why, it'll work all out in the end. And it was running around and everybody said, amen. Let's go forward. It's time for camp meeting. But this is the way we'll do it. And God will be faithful to it. You know what? The Lord wants us to bring what we've got. Folks, you may say, I ain't got anything. Sometimes a word said in season.
That's right. Amen.
It's like that the tinder's already there and the spark's been lit. And one person can say a few words of what the Lord done for him, breaks it in flame.
That's right.
You might say, I ain't got anything to do. I remember years ago in the Osho, I'd preached a revival and it was the last service of that meeting and we'd never had a real breakthrough. We had some altar work, but there was really not a breakthrough in the meeting. Last service of that meeting, I'd preached the message and altar time came and there was a song sung and there was no motions and there was a brother that stood up and said two sentences. Just said two sentences and sat down. Ignited the whole thing. Perfectly said. Perfectly said, and it touched everybody in there. And they said, let's sing another song, and a breakthrough happened. Praying everywhere, just praying everywhere it happened. No gift. All you gotta do is bring what you got.
Amen.
Oh, the Lord didn't have any individual do it all. He said to the congregation, this is yours. It'll be what you make it tonight. Do you know that? Your life will be what you make it. The congregation you're in will be what you make it. It'll be as fervent as you are. It'll be as blessed as you are. It'll be as diligent as you are. That's the truth. He said, bring. And they started bringing. This is encouraging because I wonder if Moses, maybe he had all the faith he needed. I don't know. But I wonder if he said, Lord, is this a good idea? I mean, you've got this made this plan on building this tabernacle and we need all these materials. I mean, are you really going to get it this way? If the people's heart's in it, you can build it. Because they'll go with it and they'll get it built. Because their heart's in it. And they came. I love that phrase. And they came. Everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit made willing, that motion, that drive inside, that made them do something. I'm going to tell you what it made them do. It made them get let go of something that they had a hold of. It's mine. It's mine. I'm going to give it. I'm going to give this. It's all I got. All I got. Just right here, I'm going to give it. Going to give this. I'm going to give up. I'm going to do it because that's more important to me than anything else. I want to have God travel with us. I want God to be there for my children and my children's children. I'm going to put into this thing and I'm going to make sure it keeps going. I'm going to open the doors when nobody else is there.
That's right.
Preach when there's only one or two, Brother Carl. Just keep preaching. Keep preaching. Crowds will get bigger if we keep preaching. I'm going to sing the songs when nobody's listening. I'm going to go ahead and do it. I'm going to keep doing it because it's in my heart to do it. I'm going to keep doing it. I'm reminded of the story of the one who's out there. Said he was 30 years out on the street. Every day out there telling people about the Lord. Telling people. Finally somebody said to him, been out here 30 years. And you've never changed nobody's mind. And he said, that's right. But they've never changed mine. I got it in here and I'm going to keep it in here. And the way to keep it in here is going to keep it telling it. And I'm going to keep it living it. And I mean it. And I'm going to keep right on going. So they came. Everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit made willing, and they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle and of the congregation, and for all his service. See, this is what was amazing. It wasn't, you read on in this, it wasn't just that they brought they got into their pocket. You know what else they did? The carpenter came, brought his hammer, and he saw with him. the one gifted in putting the curtains together and materials together, they came. The ones that was able to inlay gold came. The carvers came. The everyone that had a skill, they came giving it an offering in it to the Lord. This is what I can do. I tell you what it reminded me of. Or I should say that reminded me of this. But after the big F5 tornado hit Joplin, Missouri, that was quite a thing. That tornado absolutely devastated a big section of that city. It was something. It was awe-striking to me to look there and see that city leveled like that. But I'm going to tell you, people started coming out of there. They started working together. They started pulling together. People that could do something, I'm telling you, I was amazed. There was people that was saying, getting on the radio and saying, we have bought 1,000 hamburgers and 1,000 hot dogs. And we're going to be out on the corner of such and such and such and such tomorrow at noon. And if you're hungry and you're working and you need something to eat, you come right on by and you get your hamburger or hot dog. No price. Just out there feeding people. Just feeding them. Feed them. Come on. Come on. We're going to get our city back, they started saying. We're going to get this cleaned up and we're going to do it. One hand couldn't done it. But 10,000, 20,000 could. The whole lot got a lot done. And oh, I'm telling you, boy, they started. And they started. And one, there were several of them that was so touching to me. They was one of them they told about. There was an old guy out there. And he just set up a table. And what he done was sharpen chains. That's all he could do. He sharpened chainsaws. Chainsaws was running all over the city, cleaning up wood and cleaning up that. This old fella says, he said, I ain't got much to give. I can't do that. But I'm a good chainsaw sharpener. Went out there and set him up tail. Hours on end, they said, that fella sit there and sharpen chainsaws. Can't cut wood without a sharp chainsaw. Do you know that he gave what he had with his heart? Sitting out there in a booth, not getting a penny for it. Not getting a penny. He gave one of them. I'm going to tell you what he got for it. He got a decent place to live. You got a place where there's respect and honor and people can pull together. You know what? I'm going to be honest with you. I wouldn't mind having to live in Joplin, Missouri. You know why? Because I saw a big heart of people that was willing to pull together. They got in there and started getting it done. There was one person that owned that, and it was an amazing story. He was right on the line of that tornado, and his store was spared. He had a shoe store. And they got on there and said that this man said, please don't take advantage of this, but I got so many 100 pairs of boots at my store. And he said, I was out into that, and he said, I watched people out there trying to clean up their things, and their shoes was gone. There's people out there in flip-flops and didn't even have shoes on in the rubble of that, and he said it was so dangerous for them to be out there, and he said, please don't take advantage of this, but he said, if you need a pair of boots, said, come by my store. Said, my store was spared of that, and I got boots, and he started giving boots and shoes out, work boots, and when he got it all done, a day later, they was gone. And he got back on there and said that the boots was gone, but he said, further than just giving all that he got, you know what he done? He ordered another big truckload of them. Ordered 1,000 boots, and he got 1,000 boots in there, and this man wasn't getting nothing. He started giving boots. Why? Because he could. Because his heart was in the Joplin to clean up. His heart was. And you know what stirred the people to do it? Well, I say it would have happened. But one of the first things that got people going was that there was a high school group over there that had made about $10,000 for their school end of the year trip. They had made all this money and was going. And when this happened to Joplin, they gave up their trip. All this work that they had done to get this special trip for their graduation, and they gave that up and gave their money to the relief effort. And when that hit the air, I'm telling you, people's hearts started. They blowed the flame. And it started going everywhere. And people started saying, if these young people could give that money, then this guy said, I can give some boots. And others said, I can give some hamburgers. And somebody said, I can sharpen a saw. And there was other people going around with water wagons, because there was no water. And they was going around with big trailers stacked full of bottled water. And they would go to these people working, bottled water, giving them water. Who paid for it? Who cares? We gave. We gave. You know what they did? It's their community. It's theirs. They invested. It means something to them. It means something. Folks, is there any value in what we're doing?
Yes.
Is there any value to look at a fallen brother and lift him up? Is there any value to fan the flames of this a little bit and say, I know you're discouraged. Come on up out of there. You got a gift. You got a gift. You got something special. Give it what little or what great you have. Give of your own heart. Give out of your heart to it. I'm going to tell you, God simply asked them to take up an offering. I don't, folks, this is the way it is today. God don't want it any other way. He won't accept it any other way. We try to strong arm people into standards. Given, get you by the arm, twist a little bit in mentally, and just press them a little bit. God don't want it if you ain't willing to give it with your heart. Do what I want to do because it's right to do, and I want to do it with all my heart. And if it isn't in any other way, you can do it for mom, and you can do it for dad, or you can do it for your image. But if you don't do it because you love it, it ain't accepted of God.
That's right.
These people came with a willing heart. What the Spirit in them made it willing. They came and they brought their talents, their times, their money, and they invested into a way of life. Your church services will be as enthusiastic as you make it to be. I know you like to say, well, we got a good, stirring preacher. And I'm going to tell you something, just a fact. Preaching is just made a whole lot easier when the congregation's into it. That's just the truth. And I think a lot of times it's the congregation that either makes it or breaks it, and it's not the preacher. Now, you might say, well, you're the preacher, you're getting off easy there. But I'm telling you, I've seen it. It's hard to preach to a dead crowd.
That's right.
Yeah. Lord help. It's the anointing. Yeah, anoint that preacher. Lord, just anoint him. Lord, our pastor's been dry the last few Sundays. Lord, anoint that pastor. How about, Lord, anoint me? Lord, anoint me. Anoint my ears. Anoint my life. Give me some enthusiasm. Give me something to go with. I was in service one day. You probably heard me tell I was in service one day, and I wasn't into it. I'll be honest with you. I wasn't into it. Things was going on, and I went in, and preacher got up and preached and preached. And I thought, oh, what a waste of time. It's the driest service I was in. Just nothing in that. I had an old saying, it was dry as toast. Well, I was thinking you have to add water to this one to make it that dry. This is dry. Nothing in this at all. Service got over and Brother Jim White stood up and said, I want to thank the Lord for this good stirring message. He said, I've got the Lord blessed me in it and the Lord in this and this. And I sat there and I argued in my heart with Brother Jim. I said, he didn't say that. He didn't say that. He didn't say that. You know what I figured out? It wasn't the preacher that was dry. It was Marty that was dry. The preacher was fine. Brother Jim was fine. Everything was... I was dry.
Amen.
And that's what it's going to be for us. Lord, help us. Put our heart into it. Love God. Find what you have to do. You got something? Find what it is.
Amen.
Make it the life's calling. Lord, put me in this place and let me do it. Come into the place with a smile. Come in with an encouragement. Come with something. Come with something.
Amen.
Over in 36 and 4. It says, and all the wise men that wrought all the work of the sanctuary came every man from his work which they made. So here comes the workers to give. Over in 36 and 6, it says, and Moses gave commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from bringing. You hear that? What are we going to do with it? They filled the house. They gave everything and they started saying, you're most concerned to people. Well, we ain't got no more room. It's all full. Tell them to stop. Tell them to stop. Oh, what a blessed place. Tell them to stop. Okay, thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Okay, that was enough amens now. Okay. Let's go. Quit ringing the net. Oh, you got too much joy now. Slow down, Tom. We're going to have to get out of here in a while. Slow down, Tom. A little too... Lord, have mercy. Keep a bringing. Keep a bringing. Got some more for you, Lord. Here's some more for you. Got some more encouragement to you. Oh, quit bringing your friend. The chapel ain't big enough. There's no seating here. There's no seating. Quit inviting people to come out. What are we going to do? It's packed a lot while I stand outside the windows. Y'all, I'm going to have to stop. It says, for the stuff they had was sufficient for all the work to be made, for all the work to make it, and too much. You know how that happened, folks? It happened because people had heart to do it. And you can't beat it. It's the only way that this thing really works. And it's just the truth. Accept it tonight. It's just the truth. That this is one miserable, hard way when you don't have your heart in it. It isn't fun. It isn't exciting. It isn't skilled. The preacher don't always say things the right way. The singing is not always on tune, although the Lord has blessed the saints mightily with singing. But the singing is not always... There's a lot of things you can say about it. And if we don't have our heart into it, none of it's good.
That's right.
It just is not good. What makes this work is the heart to do it. God bless us when a person has a heart to do it. When Jesus saw that woman come and put the two mites in there, He said, she gave more than them all. Because they gave out of their abundance. But she gave out of her need, her want. She gave all she had. Now, which one of them had a heart to do it? Her heart was in it. And she gave all that she had. And the Lord spoke of her. So tonight, lest we get a song, I want this to be an encouragement to us, a challenge.
Yes.
That if our heart isn't in the service of the Lord, this is the difference between having joy and not having joy. This is between having peace in it and not having peace. This is really where it's laid out to us. When we do it because there's a song that says... love is freedom's law. You know what that means? That means I'm free when I'm doing what I love to do. I have an oath. I made a commitment to my wife that I'd be with her till death do us part. And that I would perform a certain function for her. And that all would become miserable if I didn't want to be there. I love it. And that makes it no law to it. I would. That's what I want to do. That's what I desire to do. That's where I'm supposed to be. And that's where I get my... And it's the same way when we're married to the Lord. There's people that have that name, but in their heart, they're looking somewhere else. And it becomes a miserable way of life. Amen.